The next case on the docket is 523-1356, People v. Williams. Arguing for the appellant is Amy O'Toole. Arguing for the appellee is Gary Bennett.
Easy for you to say. Alright. Okay. If you are prepared, you may begin.
I might mention before you begin, we told the other groups, I have found a way to use a thumb drive and have all the briefs and stuff on my phone. So I've got my phone here, but it's not for phone purpose. I'm using it as a computer. So if you see me looking down at my phone or scrolling, I'm looking at the briefs on my phone. So.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, counsel. May it please the court. My name is Amy O'Toole, and from the Office of the State Appellate Defender, and I represent Riante Williams, defendant appellant. Your Honors, we've raised two issues on appeal. First, whether Mr. Williams' conviction for armed violence should be reversed because the state failed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he possessed more than 100 grams of cannabis unauthorized under the Cannabis Control Act. And second, whether the armed violence and aggravated unlawful use of a weapon statutes violate the Second Amendment. My argument this morning will focus on the first issue. Turning to the state's charge of armed violence in this case, the state charged Mr. Williams, while armed with a Category 1 weapon, possessed between 100 and 500 grams of cannabis other than is authorized in the Cannabis Control Act. But here, the evidence showed that Mr. Williams, in fact, only possessed 99.8 grams of loose-leaf cannabis, just below the Class 4 felony threshold needed for armed violence. The remainder of the state's case focused on three jars of cannabis-infused edible product, which were measured, in this case, not by the THC content, but in fact by the total product weight, is determined by the state's forensic scientist, Kristen Stiefvetter. She said that that cannabis-infused product weighed 161.7 grams. However, that metric of measurement here really has no significance under the Cannabis Control Act at this time. Under current Illinois law, the Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act, which I'll refer to as the CRTA, was enacted in January 1st of 2020, and that distinguishes between different types of cannabis products. Here we had cannabis flower, which is loose-leaf cannabis, which adults are permitted to possess up to 30 grams. However, cannabis-infused products are measured by a max of 50 milligrams of THC, regardless of the total product weight. In the state's own witness in this case, Officer Kaufman testified that there was a meaningful distinction between legally packaged cannabis, like products from a dispensary, and illegally packaged cannabis. He believed that the edible product appeared legally packaged and store-bought. So here we had the prosecutor, the judge, the defense witnesses, all referring to these edibles and gummies contained in the jars. And despite this, the state ignored the distinction and treated all the cannabis products the same, applying the outdated rule of total weight.
Did your client's counsel stipulate to that?
There was a stipulation in this case as to the admissibility of the loose-leaf cannabis, which was amounted to 98.8, which was a combined two bags of cannabis, as well as the admissibility of the edible product, the three jars, in what the total weight was. But that had no legal conclusion. That was just a stipulation as to admissibility, not as to the proof of a Class 4 felony. There was no predicate felony admission in that stipulation. There was a stipulation also as to the presence of the THC, but not the THC content. To suggest here that the total weight of this edible product pushes Mr. Williams into felony territory is really relying on standards prior to the CRTA. As the Illinois Supreme Court in People v. Molina just recently, in December of 2024, came out, they said that the CRTA's grant of immunity prevails over any conflicting law. So what we have here is some evolving law that wasn't applied by the state or the trial court in Mr. Williams' case. The Supreme Court recognized that the CRTA represents a fundamental shift in cannabis regulation. The state cannot disregard that framework in proving cannabis-related offenses. In sum, the loose-leaf cannabis amounted to less than 100 grams here. That possession by Mr. Williams was a Class A misdemeanor. The edibles were legally packaged and presumed lawful under the CRTA, and there was no proof of THC content. The stipulation didn't address the THC content and didn't satisfy the state's burden. Both the state and the defense both cited to Jackson v. Virginia, and there's absolutely no evidence of record. There's no analysis, no lab report, no testimony that is to THC content. There's not even an estimate. So the jars were opened only for the presence of THC and the contents weights. Where the state's proof is insufficient as it is here to show unlawful possession of more than 100 grams, the armed violence conviction against Mr. Williams must be reversed. The state relied on assumptions and not evidence and failed to meet its burden imposed by the current law. Your Honors, do you have any questions?
I guess it just, I understand you're using the Tax Act for your argument, but on possession cases, it's always been, I mean, whether it's controlled substance, they've always used the weight. If you take cocaine, mm-hmm. we've never found a difference in classification based on the purity of cocaine. It's always, if you cut it with something else, we go on the total weight.
Right.
I'm not sure why, if you have five brownies, but you cut, add infused and you've got 30 brownies, it seems to me like that's changing the nature of the crime, and that's something the legislature has accounted for in how they've set up the classification scheme. So I'm not sure why we now rely on the purity of the THC or how much THC as opposed to the total weight that we've always done.
Well, let me answer that in a couple parts. And you're right that that was the law. In fact, you raised cocaine, methamphetamine. It used to be that cannabis used to be per se illegal to have possession of cannabis and was in fact a crime. But there's been a sea of change with the CRTA. After January of 2020, that's not how it works anymore. It's not that there's directly a conflict of law. What the CRTA has provided a framework for decriminalization and legalization of certain amounts of cannabis if you fall within certain strict restrictions, such as you have to be an adult, you have to be over 21. And
I mean, cannabis has always been treated differently. I mean, if you're producing cannabis, it used to be based on the number of plants, not necessarily the size. If you're growing five or more or 10 or more, and then for possession, it's based on weights, less than 30, more than, you know, 30 to 100, or I forget the classifications, but cannabis has always had some different treatments. But at what point do we say this is the right line? And
well, you have to look to now what they're making a distinction on is the loose-leaf cannabis versus a cannabis-infused product, such as the brownie example that you're using. Or there's another restriction for cannabis concentrate, whereas you might have, you can have no more than 5 grams of cannabis concentrate. So all of these are presumed legal, provided you don't exceed that limitation in Section 1010 of the CRTA. There's just a new framework for the Cannabis Control Act that wasn't applied here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Counselor, whenever you're ready, you may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Gary Benedict. I am with the 35th Office of the State's Chinese Public Prosecutor's Office on behalf of the state. Before I forget, I just want to take and ask, is the court able to clearly hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I just want to clarify that to make sure.
And you can hear us as well, correct?
I can hear you. Sometimes it's a little, let's say, garbled, whatever, but I can make out what else being said. So I follow the argument and I follow the question for so long.
Okay. We'll try and.
I'm on the board. I'm on the board, as they say.
All right. We'll try and speak clearly and loudly.
Thank you. violence and unlawful possession of cannabis. The state's bottom line here, that we don't have to prove the THC content. Armed violence basically is possession of a gun or firearm or dangerous weapon in the course of the commission of felony. As I'm sure the court is aware, there's a class 4 felony to possess more than 100 grams or less than 500 grams of, and according to statute, any substance containing cannabis. In this case, what we had is we had green leafy substance, which was considered 10, 99.8 grams, and then we had three containers. The containers of edibles, and it's the focus of the defendant that we had to take and prove the THC content of the edibles. Now, the people did that actually in two ways. The first way, and the way it was argued at trial, and the way that it was, it always has been the law that the meaning of how something, especially drugs, is given, is included in the weight. So in this case, the fact that the product, or the fact that the gummies may not be 100% cannabis, doesn't make any difference. What we're looking at is we're looking at the weight of cannabis. And the statute, the Cannabis Control Act, doesn't say we have to prove THC content. Doesn't have to prove it's not an element. It is the weight, it's the total weight of the product. And the product is like this in gummies. It is the gummies along with the THC. In essence, I guess the way I kind of look at it is the gummies all become cannabis. They all become THC, in effect. And so that weight, when you weigh that, is a proper way of determining. In comparing to the legalization, the fact that the Cannabis Control Act now provides, you know, except as provided in the cannabis legalization statute for taxation, etc. The reason why that's put in there is because under the Cannabis Control Act, if you possess less than 10 grams, that's a civil offense. And then everything is based on the way out. So, if you take, for example, this defendant here, okay, had this traffic stop for whatever reason, okay, and we have the gun found, and we found one container of the edibles. Was there a crime? No. Because it's because under the legalization statute, he could possess the one container of gun. Would there be armed violence? Of course not, because there's no felony. In this case, however, he had three containers. And because of the fact that the law has been, and nothing has been cited by the defendant, and I have not been able to find anything that has changed the rule established by the courts as to how the weight is determined, and is the entire product that the THC is in. I kind of go along with your honest questions about the right. So if he had had if by chance, for whatever reason, they tested the brownies, the weight of the brownies with the THC in it, it's all added to the weight. It's all part of it. So, we did prove 161.7 grams with these three containers. The second way, and this kind of sort of came from the reply brief of the defendant, it kind of just generalizes that, well, we didn't prove THC, and then, of course, it's given from the THC, okay, and he didn't prove that he didn't legally possess his half a gram of gummies, that we didn't prove him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But the thing is, Exhibit 8 is in evidence. Exhibit 8 was admitted. That is evidence that you can look at, and that is evidence that you can see how much THC is in one of those containers. One of those containers, each container contains 350 milligrams of THC. All you have to think and do is just the simple math at that point. Converting milligrams to grams, do the subtraction, and what you come up with is you still come up with more than 100 grams of cannabis. So, no matter how you want to take a look at this, no matter how you want to take and view what's been done here, the fact of the matter is that people did prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant was in a felony possession of cannabis. Based on the relating and based on the fact that he had any substance, that substance in this case was gummies, and weighed them all together, came up to 161.7. If you otherwise do the math with just doing the 350 milligrams, and I'd say breaking it down, it come up with 100.35 grams, which is still more than 100 grams. So, under the facts of this case, and we don't have to prove it either, and I think the main part of our argument is we do not have to take and prove actual THC content. We just have to prove that the product is cannabis, and that the amount all that altogether is more than 100 grams. We did that, we proved the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. If there are any questions, we have responded. I will respond to any questions about the second issue, but since counsel didn't present the argument, I will also take just rely on the brief if the court is so inclined to accept that.
I have a question.
All right, we do not have any questions at this time, so we will take the rest of your argument on your briefs. We appreciate your argument, and thank you. Counselor, you have time to reply. And might I suggest, I don't want to totally run your presentation here, but could you address the last point that Counselor made with regard to the THC, the milligrams converted to grams that bring us to the 100.35 grams total?
Yes, Your Honor. Initially, I think what counsel is saying is because these edible product or the jars were admitted into evidence that they met the burden of their case to show what the THC content was. But in fact, he obviously did a calculation based upon 350 milligrams of THC. But frankly, that's not in the record. That's news to me. It should be news to you, the court, because it's frankly not in the record. There's no evidence of the THC content.
Well, what he's suggesting, I believe, is that the packaging itself has some type of label that gives you per gummy or per package how much THC is contained in that package. And if that was admitted, then everything about that is before the court.
It may be that those, I haven't personally seen the jars, and it may be that there is a label, but I can't say that that label is reliable or that that label was actually admitted into evidence. I know typically with prescription drugs and the like, the label is admitted as being a reliable source of the content of the drug.
Well, regardless of what's reliable, though, I mean, as you pointed out at the beginning, the admission of those were stipulated, so we can take whatever, you know, we can glean from that evidence as reliable, I would think, since it was stipulated.
Well, I would disagree. I think the stipulation says what it says. It says that the product contained THC, and that the product's total weight was 161.7 grams. It doesn't say anything about how much THC.
Well, as you pointed out, you haven't seen that label, neither have I, so I'm assuming, I'm making the assumption mm-hmm. the counselor is giving us accurate information and that the packages themselves, and we can review the record and look at those okay. exhibits, but if those exhibits do have a label that do contain, that do provide us with the THC level or amount mm-hmm. per
jar or per gummy, and the calculation is easy enough to make.
I would agree if the photographs do contain that information. As far as I know, the photographs do not contain that information, Your Honor.
I don't recall off the top of my head. So.
And I would like to address, though, one other point. And as far as I know, the brownie example that we've kind of discussed this morning, counsel suggests that we should still continue to weigh the total amount. I've been told that they sell brownie mixes and cookie mixes with cannabis, and I think it flies in the face of the CRTA to assume that we're supposed to take that brownie mix, and when a person makes it at home, that's in fact illegal once they've made the brownie mix that they've legally purchased. That's entirely contrary to the CRTA and post legalization after January of 2020. If Your Honors don't have any further questions.
I do not.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I'm not sure. Did we mention Justice Cates in this case? All right. Just for the record, Justice Cates is another panel member for this case, and she was unavailable today, so she will be participating by reviewing the audio from today's hearing and then discussing it with us before we issue our ruling. So just so you know who else is on the case with us. Thank you both for your briefs and your arguments here today. The court will take the matter into consideration and issue our ruling in due course. You guys have a good rest of your day.